Despite the drought, friends, hurricane season is here. Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations. I'm your host, Annette Weiser. And you know, now is the time to prepare. And every homeowner, every business needs to prepare. And our cities are preparing for what may come. And our guest today is Brian Henriquez, founder of Suncoast Power Solutions. He has his very own radio show on Check a Pro Show. And you were just featured on Great Day Live. So I want to welcome you to studio. Hello there, Brian.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So let's talk about, you know, I think that people get very complacent. And you and I were just talking about the fact this is a legacy business. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But generators weren't always something that people thought about having. Keeping the power on, even back, I remember in the early days when I talked to people 60, 70 years ago, maybe there wasn't even air conditioning. The whole philosophy has changed. Talk to me about why generators have become, once again, essential, not just a may have.
Well, I think, you know, back then, if you had a couple 10-gallon ice bags, that was your preparedness, right? Throw some ice in the refrigerator, keep our food cold so it doesn't spoil, and call it a day. We didn't have all the modern-day luxuries like we do now, especially home standby power generators, which is what we specialize in. Portable generators serve their purpose as well, but that's not really our forte. We do install them, however, we've gotten somewhat complacent in society these days. We don't want to pull out a portable generator, fill it with fuel, run extension cords through our house. So these standby generators are wonderful. We permanently install them to a fuel line that hopefully the customer already has, which would be natural gas or propane. The power goes out. The generator senses the power outage. It turns on. It transfers power. And you just live life like it's any other day with a little rumble in the background.
Let's talk about the safety hazards of a portable generator. Talk to us about that and why it is so important to really look at a safer alternative.
Well, so one thing most people don't realize is portable generators are not meant to sit outside in the elements.
Especially during a hurricane.
Exactly. They're made of steel. You know, we all know what happens to steel. You leave it outside. So what do most people do? They like to try and run them in their garage, which obviously is the worst thing that you can do. Every year, despite how much preparedness we do, it seems like that horror story always comes up on the news post-hurricane, right? This person has had the unfortunate passing because, you know, the carbon monoxide or, heaven forbid, you know, a fuel can caught fire or something along those lines. The generators are permanently affixed outside the home standby. And again, it's fully automatic. So we don't have to do all of that anymore. You don't have to worry about the carbon monoxide. It does produce it. However, we do everything code compliant. Permits are pulled. We go through our inspections. There are certain codes that say you have to be so many feet away from operable windows, vents, eaves, etc., so that carbon monoxide doesn't go into the house.
So, you know, I think it's very interesting. You know, I just did a story on kitchens and smart appliances and smart homes. These are smart generators. And so your AC and refrigeration, that's going to be, you know, normally it was like, do I get AC or do I get my refrigerator? In this case, the generator, the newest technology does both. What I thought was interesting was sensitive electronics protection. Talk to me about that and what it does and how it covers that.
Yeah, so all of your electronics nowadays, so these generators, as they've gotten larger, they've gotten more powerful, they've gotten cleaner in the form of, you know, their frequency. So they all create 60 hertz is what we run off of basically from our utility. And they're made to run sensitive appliances such as that. You know, you talk about smart appliances. One of the things that's nice about these generators is they are one of those smart appliances now. So we had issues back in 2017 when Hurricane Irma came through. You know, we were somewhat coming out of a recession. People were looking for ways to save a buck or two. So one of those things was, hey, we haven't had a power outage in a year. We didn't have any hurricanes, so let's not service our home standby generator. Well, then Irma came and half of these generators didn't work because you had batteries had failed or the oil hasn't been changed in them. Nowadays, we monitor the generators as well. So the generators talk to us and they say, hey, this generator has a low battery. Can we get out here and replace it? Or the fuel filter we're overheating or where the power is unsafe, or that's probably a bad terminology, but over crank errors, low fuel pressure, things of that nature.
You know, I think it's really interesting, Brian, that it is no longer a summer phenomenon.
No.
We have, and in fact, some of the worst storms are actually in the winter. Talk to me a little bit about why backup power is becoming more common in Florida homes all year round.
So data centers is probably one of the things that you hear about the most currently. You know, it's all over the news. You can't get away from it. I read an article the other day. I think that they said like one data center consumes more than, I want to say it was like 500 super Walmarts.
Yep, that's absolutely right.
So, you know, and I could be a little wrong on the quantities there, but regardless, you know, where does that power come from? That's the question. And you know, it's from you, from us homeowners, that the power is being taken from us and given to essentially, you know, big business. So what can you do to prepare yourself? Well, you know, we have an answer for it. It's home standby power.
Absolutely. And you know, what is the biggest mistake a homeowner makes is waiting till last minute. Tell us why, you know, you really do need to be prepared in advance.
Always, always. And, you know, these are permanently affixed, which means they require permits. I've had people
and a contractor that is licensed.
Yes, 100% licensed, insured, all of that good stuff. You know, we've had customers throw their wallets at me when the storm is brewing in the Gulf. Hey, if you can install it today, I'll give you X amount of dollars. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
As much as we would love to have that money, you know, the permitting process in most municipalities can take weeks or sometimes even months.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that the safe system integration is what interests me, that you've got all these worries when a storm is coming, but the system, tell us a little bit about the system, just kicks on.
It does. So without boring you into all the technical
details. Yeah, interlock. What is an interlock kit? That's what I want to know.
Well, an interlock kit is actually for portable generators.
Oh, okay.
So we use automatic transfer switches.
Okay.
So the power or the generator senses the power loss. It tells the controller in the generator tells the engine to start via the battery. That takes about 2 to 3 seconds. And about 5 seconds later, you hear a click in your transfer switch, and you have power in about 10 seconds or less.
That also keeps our utility workers safe because it prevents backfeeding.
Yeah, that's huge. Most people don't realize that. So kudos for you for realizing that backfeeding thing. There's been plenty of linesmen that have been injured or lost their lives because of somebody takes their portable generator and says, oh, look, it'll fit into that dryer outlet. So let's unplug the dryer and plug the dryer in and backfeed it. And yeah, if it's not done correctly, that's a big no-no.
So how easy is it to operate it? I mean, I know you guys do all the hard work and you know, install it. You've got a couple different things, smaller units and larger units, 30 amps and 50 amps. To make things easier, I know that you do a step-by-step. But what do people need to know? Do you, okay, hurricane's coming, you've installed one. How do I turn it on?
Well, so if we're talking about portable generators.
No, the standalone.
So the standbys, they turn on via the battery. So
okay.
I always tell people, sit in your lazy boy, and you know, if you're watching TV, give it 10 seconds, it'll turn on via the battery, it'll crank over, it'll transfer, and then it's like you never lost power.
So what size generator does my home need? How do I, you know, if I have an apartment or I have a 1,500 square foot home, what do I need?
Not one size fits all.
Okay, good. So you evaluate that, and how long does the installation take?
Anywhere between a small install would take a couple days, a large install maybe a week.
That is incredible. So I want to ask you a little bit about when people start preparing. What is it that, do you have to have a certain space outside the house? Where is it? Is it going to be unsightly? Is it going to be, where does it go normally?
So think of it as an air conditioner. As a matter of fact, we're governed by the same mechanical codes that AC HVAC is. And in most cases, we do put the generator somewhat next to the condensing unit outside. And it's about the same size footprint as well.
So you are a legacy business, and I love this. We love to talk to people who are entrepreneurs like you are, who are, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, how you got into the business, what your dad did. I know you are network infrastructure, electrical services, entrepreneurship. What did you learn about running a business, and what do you hope that your dad, what your dad's legacy is expressed now?
So my dad started a company, Henrica's Electric, of course, my last name, back in 1976. And I loved the electrical aspect of the business. However, I didn't really like working for general contractors, if I'm being honest.
Right.
So I wanted to be direct with the homeowner. That way, it seemed too many things were getting lost in translation when you have a middleman. So I wanted to go direct to the homeowner. After Hurricane Andrew came through, we saw the need for backup power. So,
so you think that was a turning point, really, as far as people really... It had to happen.
It was a turning point in the industry because generators weren't created for home backup. They were created for large backup power systems, water treatment facilities, things of that nature. It wasn't until, I think it was, we had the late, well, let's see, we became trained in 2000 for Generac standby power systems, and then we picked up other brands since then. And then as these storms become more prevalent, the need or the want for generators keeps growing, and you know we're just trying to answer that call basically.
So how do you power that generator, and how much what do you have to have on hand in order to power it?
So we have three options essentially. We have diesel, natural gas, and liquid propane. Diesel is not a very popular option in the home generator business. Natural gas, if you're fortunate enough to have it, is probably our preferred because it's an endless supply. It's a utility that comes from the street essentially. And then if you don't live in an area that is fortunate enough to have natural gas, we'd have to put a propane tank on property, either bury it or put it against the house or away from the house.
How do you keep that safe?
Propane tanks?
I'm always nervous. I always ask my partner, I said, is that propane tank too? What if there was a lightning strike? But you bury it. Actually.
You're not the only one that we hear that from. But good news is we've been doing this since 2000 now, and we have never had a propane tank issue. Knock on wood, right? Every once in a while you do have, leaks, breaks in the line, people digging, et cetera. But there's a lot of precautions taken nowadays so you don't have those issues. When you bury the tank, I do think that's an extra kind of level of security. It's out of sight. You don't want to put them next to the driveways if you can avoid them. And the codes, too.
Right.
The codes say 10 feet away from anything that can create a spark for obvious reasons.
Now, I want to talk about workforce development because this is, I think, so important. And I know that you are very passionate about leadership and team culture, customer trust. Talk to me a little bit about how you're developing a workforce that can do this business get certified.
So another good question. We first were certified electrically. That was our first license, went out and got an electrical license. And then when you start handling different generators, you have to be certified in all of these different brands. So that seems like a never-ending process as well. The way things are changing nowadays, the guys are constantly in training. We just had three out last week up in Jacksonville getting trained on another product.
Do you have to actually take a board or a test to be trained?
We have so many different trainings. So we have a gas license, we have electrical license, we have certifications in Cummins, Generac, Kohler, all of these different brands. So it really is never ending. And then once you get those licenses, then you have continuing education for those licenses. So it's grueling, but it has to be done. Things are changing too frequently for you not to be educated.
Absolutely. It's like, the tech business, software business, AI is coming for their jobs because it can do it faster. But I want to ask you this. So are you working with like high schools or the tech schools or, what would you tell a high school student who, more and more are not going to college? And what would you tell them in order to, should you go to those tech classes? Should you take those tech schools? Because they're great careers.
They are. And that's, trade schools, it's funny you bring that up because we've been talking about trying to get some internships into the office. We need a younger generation to come in and learn these trades. Back then, when I was going to school, everybody wanted to be a doctor and attorney.
No, I wish I had been a tech person, for God's sake.
Right. Absolutely. And nowadays, there's a shortage of it, and it's very hard to find. So it's a battle for us, and we're in talks currently with our team. We're trying to do an in-house schooling.
That would be super great.
That's where it's gotten right now. So the trade schools are great. We need to, we've really been focused on the business lately, just growing the business because of the demand. But there's going to come a time where we need the people to follow that demand.
Because you're a legacy business, so your dad, to you, and that next generation, rather than just looking at their phones, they need to be in the workforce development. So I give you kudos for thinking about that. We hope that when you come back again, you'll tell us about that.
Thank you.
Tell us about your radio show.
Well, we do radio shows with Jim Clark as Checker Pro Joe. Mm-hmm.
Checker Pro Joe?
Yeah, his name's Jim, but he goes by Joe just for the rhyme.
Checker Pro Joe.
Just so people, yeah, just so people can do that.
We have no shame at Radio St. Pete.
You know, and it's just, it's conversation, right? It's dialogue, very much like I'm doing here. We just talk about the differences, the nuances of standby power as opposed to, say, portable power or batteries or, you know, just any other form of backup energy. There's maybe something else down the road here.
And speaking about batteries, lithium batteries, I was just reading the hurricane supplement, which you saw I brought in because I was looking at some of the quotes. And over again, lithium batteries, cars explode. Lithium batteries, bikes explode. So
there's a reason you can't take them on airplanes. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all I'm going to say. I want to talk a little bit about volunteer community, things you do in the community. Tell us a little bit about your life outside of work.
Okay, so I don't have much of a life outside of work, but you know, we do try and give back to the community however we can. We just finished a job with Project Hope, a job with Feast Food Pantry. Little shout out to them. They do a lot of good in the area. Gosh, let me think of some other ones that we've done. Villa Madonna Catholic School. We just finished that. It was the convent. Okay. You know, they have a nice little convent over there that, you know, houses a bunch of nuns, and they lost power, and we hope they use it as a little safe haven, even though I think there's only 5 of them in there at the time that I quoted them.
We need all the prayers we can
they've
get.
They've got room for about 16 more, so hopefully.
Another workforce development.
Get thee
to a nunnery.
Right. But that's some of what we've been doing lately.
I love, what kind of sports fan are you? A World Cup guy?
I've been watching, yes, you know, like all of us Americans.
USA.
We're not as into soccer, but I played when I was younger.
I was going
to
ask you.
I do enjoy it, and let's hope I can stay up to 10 o'clock tonight to watch the next game.
Absolutely.
Us blue collars that are up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock's a little bit more difficult to see.
Hey, as John Wayne used to say, you're burning daylight.
Right.
So, football, you're a Bucks fan?
I am a Bucks fan.
Are you born and raised here?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't
high school?
On?
No, I love that. A native. We got a native, folks. So, which high school did you go to?
I went to?
To
Jesuit, and I went to Tampa Catholic.
Oh wow! Great. Yep. Those are two good schools.
Yeah,
that
both
is
great.
Wonderful.
Both great schools. I met so many connections at both of them.
And you played sports at?
I did briefly. Yeah, I played basketball for Jesuit, and
cool.
then nothing really at Tampa Catholic.
Yeah. And what's your favorite thing to do in your neighborhood? Where do you like to eat? Where do you go? Share some places that we should check out, because we don't often get someone from your neighborhood.
Okay. So, you know, being a local guy, you know, in Tampa is where I reside most of the time. And, you know, I love Averone's. I'm an Italian guy.
Yeah.
So Averone's Grill, which, you know, that's the family of Malio's
which is
a great family,
family
in the restaurant business. Esposito's, another good Italian restaurant that everybody, I think it's only been there maybe 2-3 years, if I'm wrong. Those are my two faves.
That's fun. What's on your playlist when you're working?
Like sound playlist?
Yeah, your music playlist.
I don't listen to music. My phone rings constantly.
Oh, my goodness.
I am not able to get off the phone. I can't tell you when the last time I've listened to the radio.
Brian Enriquez, it's been a pleasure to have you. We want you to tune in to RadioSt.Pete.com where local music lives. You can download our new app on Android or iPad. We want all of your guys to be listening to Radio St. Pete.
Excellent.
Where local music lives. Brian Enriquez, you are the founder of Suncoast Power Solutions. It's been wonderful talking to you about being an entrepreneur, being a business, and also helping us understand how we can be more safe, not just storm season, but all year round.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being here.
Thanks for being here, Brian. For Radio St. Pete, I'm Nanette Weiser. Be safe. You must be prepared. It's on you.